Dr. Show!
You have all made it through the dance. You have all made it
Coming to you from the X-Access, it's John of All Trades with your host, John X.
Welcome to the John of All Trades podcast, episode 63. I'm your host, John X. Thank you for joining us. Glad to have you back once again. This week on the show, we've got Corey Streetman and Sarah Hogan from Barefoot PR. Now, I met them at some networking event. Like, there was this group that we were both belonged to. When I was working corporate, they had Barefoot PR. And I ran into them, I think, at Prost Brewing one time. And we got together another time after that. And the reason I'm telling you this is because, and if you're a longtime listener of the show, you're not going to need me to underline this for you. Like, if you've listened to multiple episodes here, this is going to seem fairly obvious. But if you're new to it, this is something that can be instructive. Someone told me once, I think when I got to about 50 episodes or so, right about the time I was leaving corporate, and they said, you know what you're doing on this show, don't you? You're basically learning how to be an entrepreneur, and you're basically talking yourself into it. That's what all your guests are. And I said, you know, I tried to deny it. I'm like, that's not necessarily true. Like, entrepreneurs are just easier to get on the show. They have less red tape to go through, less approval process, less sort of, I don't know, corporate hesitancy, you know, weird sort of risk aversion. But they're right. I mean, ultimately, I'm talking to people who inspire me to start my own business. And that's kind of what this show is. Yes, it's, I love talking to people about what they do and how they do it. I'm fascinated by all the weird ways people make money. And, you know, not to say inherently anything is weirder than anything else, but the fact is, there's so much that goes on that we don't understand that makes our society go. And I love digging into that. But I think in a more pronounced way, it's also just a way for me to feel better about going out on my own and learning some tricks of the trade. So I tell you that story about Corey and Sarah as I set up this week's episode, which founders of Barefoot PR, Corey Streetman, Sarah Hogan, you can check out their website at barefootpublicrelations.com. As they point out, don't go to barefootpr.com. It goes to some like travel site on Puerto Rico, but whatever, that's neither here nor there. And they tell their story of how they ended up making the leap. And Corey was at a job that was unfulfilling. Sarah was working corporate. They connected together. And it's fun to listen to how their story unfolded. Because when you look at something abstractly, it seems like things just sort of happen organically. And it's like, hey, one day I was doing this job, the next day I wasn't. Well, no, that's not really the case. And so getting to hear this origin story is just fascinating. And I think you'll enjoy it. And then we get into sort of how they work together, how a partnership is beneficial, how you can be friends and business partners. They were business partners first and became really good friends as a result of that. But there's just a lot in here. And listening to them talk to each other, you don't hear me a lot. I drop a lot of movie references in this episode for some reason. I have no idea why. I think I might have been getting prepared to go on These Things Matter or something. But whatever the case, listening to them talk to each other, I mean, that's just as pertinent to this episode as anything having to do with me. But they both encouraged me to get out on my own. And that's what I'm doing now. Deft Communications is the name of my firm. It's going fantastically. I love the work that I'm doing. And the John of All Trades Show is a production of Deft Communications. So check us out on the web, deftcom.us. Additionally, I'll just plug one other thing. If you're listening on iTunes or Stitcher, thank you very much. Please give us a rating. Please give us a review. And hey, while you're at it, subscribe. You'll get all the episodes of the John of All Trades podcast delivered right to your computer, right to your phone, right to your listening device. You don't even have to do anything. But you can always go to the website, which is johnofalltrades.us, johnofalltrades.us. So let's not delay any further. Here is another piece of the puzzle showing how John became an entrepreneur on his own. We talked to two entrepreneurs, Corey Streetman, Sarah Hogan, founders of Barefoot PR. Episode 63 of the John of All Trades podcast begins right now.
So yesterday,
I love that you actually have a shirt that says John of All Trades.
I know. Can you believe that?
I had this made.
I know, I love it. I'm
sorry. I have two of them. So, yeah, it's...
In case one gets dirty.
Well, and the other one's blue. So it's navy blue. This one's gray, obviously.
Because it you need options.
Correct. depending on what you're wearing. But
podcasting is a very visual medium.
Yeah. No, 100%. But no, I had to go to the mall, and this kid, like, recreated the logo because the format I had it. And he's like, nope, this is not going to work. And so he's like, what are the fonts? I didn't know. And he just recreated the logo and then put it on here.
And now you have it, hopefully, in a format.
Yeah. And that kid, he saved it.
So you can go there again.
Yeah. You have a new baby, too, right?
I do have a new baby. He's 3 months old.
3 months old?
Yes, as of yesterday.
Wow. And I really like when you get to about 3 months. You can see more of the lights turning on.
Cooler, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the first, I'm not going to lie, the first 6 weeks were like... I just do
because yeah. Like it's a one. I love that they're like in literally like the three different like stages.
Yeah, that's crazy, yeah. Isn't it?
I mean,
they're fun. Like kids are crazy.
He just—it's like all of a sudden he's like grabbing for things. Yeah, like that's so cool because you could see him like trying, and it's so they're like,
around,
like fine motor skills are not really a thing right now.
It's cool though, and like Brayden like officially in the last like 2 weeks has become like a child. Not a baby anymore. It's like,
he's like more of a little person.
Like he's totally a person. Yeah. He's like walking. He's like just eating different. Everything's just different.
Well, it was funny this morning. I was walking around the back of the couch and she was sitting in my wife's lap. She's looking at me back here and I get too far and she can't. I came around the other side. And
she's like,
and she knew enough to go.
Oh,
and yay! I go, no.
That just happened.
I'm like, look at you.
Everything is like a new discovery.
Yeah, it's
that's
wild.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, he's like, he's always a crazy kid, but he always like needs something in his hands.
Uh-huh.
And lately, like he's been more attached to one, like the
one
lovey
thing.
Thingy, which is like a new, not just like an anything. It's like, I want that one.
No, this one.
Yes. The blue one.
Have you seen the blog Reasons My Son Is Crying?
No. But I bet it's amazing.
It's funny. Cause
I've seen like Facebook posts like that where it's
yeah.
Like, my son is crying because he wants to take his shoes off and I took them off.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah.
Because I wouldn't let him drown himself in this pond.
Yes. I've seen them.
You know?
It's
that's
like,
pretty funny.
Yeah, they're pretty funny.
So, I intend.
No, I need to sit closer.
Yes, much closer.
I will. I promise.
Excuse me, what's going on?
Okay.
I'd like to say thank you to all of my friends.
Hello.
So you
get warm up.
Bring that as close as you can. So
can I need to sit? I need to...
Yeah, you can hold it if you want.
Why?
You're going to get all wiggly and then you'll drop it and go, oh.
Okay, sorry. Focus.
No, dirty radio host trick. I've had these on for the last 5 minutes.
No!
Nice.
Sarah, like,
is that it?
Totally fine.
To the surprise of no one.
No.
Right?
Right.
I mean, I would
didn't ask.
Yeah. But you probably should have assumed, right?
You too.
So, sitting here at your office, we're at Barefoot PR with Corey Streetman and Sarah Hogan. So thanks for being here.
Thanks for coming
to
our office.
Yeah, and you're recently back, right, Sarah?
I am. I just returned after having a baby.
Yeah?
He's now 3 months old.
And how is he?
He's adorable. The cutest thing ever. He giggled the other day, and I just thought I was going to lose it. I was like, this is how you end up giving your kids everything they ask for.
Yeah. No, for sure. Because what's funny is the first couple of months, the reason they're smiling is because of gas.
Yeah, they have to fart.
No, like, that's it.
Not. They know what
my kid
doing.
Still farts and smiles.
Well, yeah, but for a slightly different reason.
He one time farted right in my face and laughed.
Oh, man.
That's unfortunate for you.
My wife one time burped in the cat's face and then blew it in his face like a bully.
Yeah.
And so the baby did that to her. And I go, that's right. Karma.
It comes back.
I think the cat told the baby, honestly.
Oh, I mean, they do have like a special connection, animals and children.
Yeah. I think my kid is creating his own language with our pets. Like, I'm convinced they'll just like look at each other and he'll start squawking and then the dog will walk away and do something.
Yeah.
And I'm like...
Well,
the just
first
happened.
What are you guys
word?
Doing?
Yeah. Yeah,
the first word that my kid ever said was ah, which is how my dog barks. No,
seriously?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's exactly what my dog does.
That's going to be great when someone's listening to this, like at the gym. They're going to jump and fall right off the treadmill.
I'm telling you, I mean, it's just what he did. He does it all the time. Every time he sees another
Corey's
dog,
is also a crow.
Yeah. But it's what she sounds like. And every time he sees another dog or a cat, he like makes that noise at them and waits for them to respond.
happens.
Oh, that's too weird.
Yes, I know.
So, how's it feel to be back? It's surreal, isn't it?
It is. I felt a little tired at first, but honestly, I think work uses a different part of my brain, like the part of my brain that isn't problem solving, like how to clean up poop without it getting messier.
Right.
So it's good. I mean, when I'm here, it's nice to think about something else. But then on the drive home, I'm like, oh my God, baby, I missed you.
Yeah, it's hard. And Corey, you have a baby, right?
Yes, he is 1 and 2 weeks.
Wow, 1 and 2 weeks. What are you going to do? You having a big party? Well, it's more for the adults, right?
It's really more for the adults. We're going to have a keg. Yeah. So his birthday is July 2nd, so we're going to have a 4th of July barbecue. So really, it's just a reason to have a barbecue with some cake.
She also thinks
kazoos.
There are going to be a lot of musical instruments.
Yeah, well, kazoos are the main thing.
Can you get some slide whistles?
I can work on that.
Do you want to help with that part of it? I just want to show up and have it there.
I'll do my best.
By the way, that was a perfect PR response. Can we have slide whistles? I'll work on that. Right?
We're professionals here, folks.
I mean, anytime you're a consultant, I'd really like this ice fountain to be made of not ice. And you go,
I'll work on
that. Yeah, no, I'll work on that.
Yeah. And then they usually forget in like 10 minutes.
Or like, I'll look into that for you.
Yeah, let me see what we can do.
And then like after the event, they're like, where was that ice sculpture? Oh, you didn't see it?
It was just there.
It must have melted.
You were saying hi to so-and-so.
And it was gone in a second.
Yeah. It just disappeared. But, you know, it being not ice.
It was magical.
Yeah. So anyway, let's go back a little bit because I'm always interested in the journey. How did you two come to found Barefoot PR? And maybe give us a little bit of what led up to that.
Well,
so
you want to start?
So my entire career has been in corporate PR and marketing. Right. So working in house for big companies. When I moved to Denver,
what types of industries?
Legal, architecture, engineering, construction. Right.
So super glamorous PR.
Super glamorous.
Super.
I mean,
I always like when I go and speak to college students, and I say to them. They're like, I want to do PR. And I go, you realize it's not restaurant openings and it's not Samantha Entourage. From Sex and the City.
No. I mean, sometimes.
Sarah, I mean, granted, like, drinks in the afternoon
the
today. But
have you seen that picture in the corner of our office? Sometimes it is.
That's true. I mean, today glamorous. We're having drinks in the office.
Right.
Right? I mean, but
I often
sometimes
have
it's just
in the office,
it's just ditch digging. Some of it is.
Oh,
especially
absolutely.
In corporate.
Absolutely.
Corporate's a different world.
A lot of it is like, I mean, I one time had to sit down with the CEO of the company and tell him before he went on camera he needed to trim his eyebrows.
Nice.
Not glamorous. Not. So I worked in corporate, and when I moved here, I worked for a big law firm in downtown Denver, and we had just hired a consulting firm.
Wait, where did you come from?
I came from Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Yes.
Did you work there?
I did. Okay. Not on the Hill.
Okay.
But, you know, there are like lots of other industries that are non-Hill related.
Get out.
Yeah. No, people never think that. They're like, which senator did you work for?
Right.
Like the senator of an architecture firm? No, I was corporate.
Okay.
Very glamorous.
Still doing corporate.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Still doing corporate. So I moved here, worked for this law firm, hired a consulting firm that did community relations and PR.
Mm-hmm. Well, sort of, right? Because they didn't tell you.
I didn't actually know at the time. Here's a tip for you.
Okay.
If you offer other services, you should tell your clients about them. Because they don't always know
well,
that.
Right. Which is why this other firm where I happen to work was not so great at business development.
Here's a tip.
Roger that.
Yes. Yeah. So I was on the other side of the fence. So I've always been in the consulting space. I was a freelance PR person for a long time. And I kind of had like slightly more glamorous because I wasn't involved with corporate. I did a lot.
The reason it was glamorous was because of her hair.
Yeah. Well, totally. I mean, my hair always makes things glamorous. At the time, it was slightly more dreaded.
Okay.
No, I did a lot of like PR publicity work for festivals. So I did a lot with music festivals and arts festivals and film festivals. And,
right.
And it was fun, but it was kind of exhausting. And like, I knew it really wasn't what I wanted to do long term. It was also dealing with a lot of
of different kinds of egos than the egos we deal with these days.
Oh God, I did. I helped my friend promote a music festival and put on a music festival in Fort Collins. It's a nightmare.
It is.
Because bands are typically pretty infantile.
They are. I mean, and it was great. Like I got to go to free shows all over the state. Like, I mean, Colorado has great festivals and we had photo passes. I mean, it was great. Like, I had a good time, but knew it wasn't what I wanted to do long term.
And if you ever want to de-glamorize something, get paid to do it for
and
a while.
And go backstage for too long. Yeah. But it was fun. So I was kind of on this other side of the fence and ended up, and I did a lot of stuff for nonprofits. And so I ended up going back to grad school because I wanted to learn more about, you know, the more traditional PR and kind of how nonprofits were managed as well. So I ended up working for the consulting firm that Sarah hired to kind of, and I was learning more about the community relations piece. And my coworker at the time, there was just him and I were kind of the only people that worked with the clients, although he was working directly with Sarah. And Sarah, I mean, you had the conversation with him where you were like, oh, you don't have a PR.
So it was probably like a year and a half, maybe.
This all has a point, by the way. This all leads to why we're here.
I'd expect nothing
less. It's our creation story.
Yeah, yeah.
So a year and a half into the account, they were working on just our community relations, helping to build up
this
program.
And Sarah didn't know that I had been doing all the work behind the scenes for her the whole time.
Okay.
No, Corey was a person they introduced to me as an intern.
Who was older than the other people.
Nice.
Right. And so I was dealing with this guy. And I was like, hey, our PR firm closed its doors and I need to rehire. Do you have any recommendations?
By the way, how do you define community relations? They were doing your community relations work, but what did that entail?
They were building out a plan. So,
like a plan for what, though?
Outlining our giving program.
Okay, great.
And then more tied to the true charitable.
And then really, so it was an attorney, like helping place our attorneys on board. So hands-on involvement.
Okay, I got you.
And the celebration too, the 10, or is that later?
It wasn't a part of the original plan. So it was generally giving. Okay, so how do we do that?
Yeah, yeah.
So
I said to him, I totally lost track of where I was going. I said to him, I need to hire a PR firm. And he was like, oh, okay. Well, let me see if I can come up with some suggestions. End of conversation.
He never told me these things, right? Okay. So
in the meantime, Corey and I got sent to an event together about women, like how to dress for work,
basically. And manners.
And
I showed up.
And Corey was late.
I showed up 15 or 20 minutes late and our table was right in the middle and I had to like walk through this event. It was terrible.
Like, excuse me.
The speaker called me out and made me
Here's another tip. When you're going to an event about manners,
don't send Corey.
Yeah. So anyway, Corey and I were at this event.
Walk in like, what's up, fuckers?
What? I couldn't find them. Anyway, it was a whole situation.
So she was very frazzled, came in the wrong door. It was a whole scene.
Good God.
So manners. So anyway, at the event, she was like asking me what was going on. It was the first time I really actually had a real conversation with Corey.
The guy wouldn't let me talk to Sarah because he was afraid we'd become friends and she wouldn't want to work with him anymore, which happened.
Right. So I told her the same thing. I was like,
so his fears may be justified.
Well, then we went to lunch.
But you guys are on the same team. What does it matter?
Oh, right. Everything was a competition with him. It was like dealing with a little brother.
Oh, okay. Yeah. In the same company?
Yeah.
In a very small company.
What's the point?
You're not rewarded
He wanted to be this like hotshot. That's a whole other podcast. I'm just saying. He has a flip phone. Okay. I mean, even I don't. Okay. Sorry.
I miss flip phones.
It's so simple. Yes. Life was easier.
Do you remember that scene in Departed where he texts a guy without even looking at it? He's got it in his pocket and he texts.
Oh, like
Nicholson.
Yeah.
Like you could do it all by touch.
You could feel the
and you knew like where things were ordered in your contacts and stuff.
Yeah.
I used to do that during grad school with my friend. Which was odd. I mean,
or you would like hold down the one and it would call someone.
Yes,
it was a good time.
Like, about that. That was like now
it's things. And now it's all touch screen, which there's more in cars.
Yeah, but you can't feel it.
Which seems bad because you keep taking your eyes off the road.
Yes,
which is horrible.
That's why you shouldn't text and drive.
Well,
they
keep
telling us not to text and drive, but then they put like a giant video screen,
right? Like a display touch screen in the middle.
Totally.
It's like I'd rather look at the road and like everything else used to be tactile.
Did you guys hear? So my husband really likes Tesla cars. Like he's really into them. The new Tesla, they're trying to like take mirrors off of Tesla, like side mirrors, because it makes them faster.
Only
and they're
cameras.
Like trying to put the camera like on a screen, like right in front of your face.
I know someone who drives a
More,
Tesla.
God.
Oh, Tyler. Yes. Yeah.
So you meet at this conference where Corey has acquitted herself brilliantly.
It was just an event.
And then
we
were like, we get along. Yeah. We should go shopping sometime because clearly that's what we wanted to do.
I think we both needed a new pair of jeans, which is like the ultimate. No, it was jeans. I remember denim in the mix. It's like the ultimate bonding experience.
So we went shopping for jeans. And we went to lunch like also that day.
Yes.
And we
had the macho salad.
The macho salad.
I'm pretty sure that was on the agenda.
Is that a Cherry Creek Grill?
Yeah, it's good shit.
Yeah.
Here's another tip. If you don't know the macho salad at Cherry Creek Grill, know it.
Oh no,
you become familiar.
You'd get along perfectly with my wife because she still talks about it.
The macho salad, it's pretty good. So we went to lunch at the Cherry Creek Grill, and you know we were chatting, and I mean I wasn't like really trying, like I was trying to keep it personal, like not like all business, because I mean I wasn't even technically supposed to be telling her I was working on her account because my coworker would take credit for everything,
right?
And Sarah started telling me about how they had, you know, she's really trying to find this PR firm, and I was like, well, do you know that we do PR? Because I'm confused. Yeah. And so we left that meeting basically.
And
like,
in the meantime, like, sent me over two recommendations.
You never told me that he had sent recommendations.
He did. What he sent me two, and I could like tell you their names right now, but I think they're still in the industry. So I had like started meeting with people. I told Corey, I was like, this is a thing I'm doing. I don't know that I have the right fit yet. And she was like, do you know that we do that?
I mean, because we had other clients where I did the PR for them.
No, I did not. And I will never forget going back to my boss and saying, you know the firm we hired? They do that too. And I think if we consolidated, we'd be paying less.
Yeah. And so we ended up, after that lunch, basically doubling our contract with them.
Hey.
Which was fantastic.
Hey, high five.
High five. I didn't get a high five. It was like from them. I mean, this place was, they were so stupid. And he was so terrified I was going to take the work, which I did because it made more sense. I mean, he was basically achieving nothing for them. So that's kind of like how we met. So, you know, Sarah and I, from the get-go, we just kind of clicked.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just like we realized we just made sense and we had the same approach of doing things. And then we worked really closely together on this contract for, it was like a year and a half. Maybe.
Yeah.
And over that time, both of our jobs quickly, like our mental state at our jobs quickly deteriorated.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was bad. Things got bad. And, you know, I have like lots and lots of workplace, like legal issues I could have pursued. Like it got bad.
Compared to its pristine state from before.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Like things just got real bad.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I think, so Sarah also, you know, was in a bad place there. It just, we weren't happy.
Let me put this out there. The actual law firm was not bad.
Yeah.
My direct supervisor went off the deep end.
Like crazy.
And off the deep end so much where she one day came to me and said, I think the corner of your office where you sit has a lot of bad vibes. And I think this Saturday, I'd like you to come in and burn some incense in Everclear with me so we could do a clearing. And I was like, I think I'm busy.
That was terrible. These people are just crazy.
Deep end.
Like, we work for...
Like burning sage? Stupid. Or like...
Absolutely.
Okay, fun.
Yes. She was going to perform some sort of...
Did the buttoned-up corporate culture eventually just break her?
No, it was a divorce.
There.
Yeah, she's still there.
Oh, okay.
It was a divorce, and...
It got complicated.
It did.
That's too bad.
You know, but people go through things.
We were just in really tricky situations, and so there were frequent... Like, I would say 4 to 5 times a week, Sarah or I would call the other one... Mm-hmm. Like out in the parking lot or like out in the street,
right.
Like pretending we were like going to the bathroom and we'd go out just to like vent for 5 minutes because something that bad had just happened inside of the office. And it was so hard because, you know, we were young, we were in this point in our career when you're doing a job that you actually really love, but you hate where you're doing it.
Yeah.
And it's a really tricky place because, you know, people, I swear, I kind of felt like, what's her Anne Hathaway in The Devil Wears Prada? Because it's like, oh, it's a job every girl would dream to have. Yeah. Because, yeah, it was. It was a really great, the idea
surface.
Was a really great job. And so it was just, it was bad. And the same for Sarah. I mean, she was in a really good job and it was just a bad situation. So we would frequently have these phone calls where we would talk about like, well, if we were doing this, because I would call her about a client or Sarah would call the bitch about like a certain thing she was working on.
Yeah, project or something.
Yeah, yeah. Like if we had our way, this is how we would do it. And the other one would be like, that's exactly how I would do it. And so it just kind of like it developed like organically, right? And
it
just, we realized we both had this vision. And I always knew, I mean, I was my own boss. I was a freelancer for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I had taken this chance to work for this woman for, I think I was only there for like 2.5 years, but it felt like a million. but I'd taken a chance because I think it's good for everyone to be in a structured environment at least once in your life to like kind of learn that. Like, I'm not a very structured person, but like, right. It's good for me to learn it. And I knew I was going to leave eventually, but I didn't know what the next step was going to be. Right. And that was kind of.
So I knew my mental state was deteriorating. So yeah. I set a deadline. I refused to be there by Halloween of that year.
What year was that?
2010.
10. Yes. Okay. 2010. So I had an exit strategy. In the meantime, this person approached me about a job that sounded a little too good to be true. It was like a part-time PR and marketing job for another law firm.
Smaller.
Yeah.
I could set my own hours.
It was
and like do all that. It was great. So like I went there. The people were super nice again, but I was bored out of my mind. I was working 4 days a week and I had a hard time filling 4 days a week. Like yeah. I was like, okay, I can't.
Were they
do
paying
this.
You decently?
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's the hard. Oh, that's
know,
so
it's
hard,
the worst,
isn't it?
Right.
It's the golden handcuffs, right?
It yeah. is. Yeah. And I am just not good at that. So
well,
Corey.
So meanwhile, so like the exact same time, Sarah tells me she's doing this, right? And I was in a tricky situation because I had helped develop Colorado Gives Day, mm-hmm. which obviously has become
yeah, that's a big deal.
Like, little pat on the back there has become a pretty big thing in Colorado, but sure. back then it like hadn't even launched yet. So we were set to launch in early December 2010, and the foundation that manages it still was my client, as was the corporate partner, which was another issue of this firm where they were like sort of answering to two gods on many different occasions.
Ah, yes.
And all of the clients would request to not work with my coworker, and so I had to manage both sides.
Right.
Anyway, so it was a complicated thing. So there was a lot of ethical things going on.
Sure.
And so I kind of had told myself, like, Sarah, like, oh, I'll set a deadline. I'm going to make it through Colorado Gives Day. We're going to launch this and I'm out. Sarah's leaving. Oh, man, now you're going to
So I left
this.
In September.
And I
– the end of September.
Basically, a week after Sarah – not even a week. It might have been, like, the week – her last week. Like, she gave her notice. And I was, like, freaking out, right? And I couldn't handle – like, she was my only – like, I mean, I had great clients and I did. But Sarah and I obviously had a good connection. And so – I basically said, okay, I'm going to make it through September, right? And then I was like, oh, I'll make it through October. Like, I kept doing this thing. And then, okay, so he was leaving town, which he never did because he never went on vacation.
Right.
He was always there from 8 to 5. And we would take the same route to work. And he would race me there to beat me there when he'd see me driving. It was like a whole thing. So he was leaving town. And he left town on a Friday morning. And that Thursday night, I went to dinner with my husband. And I was like, I'm going to quit tomorrow. And this was like, you know, 4 months before I had said
right.
I was going to quit. And he was like, you're going to quit. Okay. I was like, you know, and we had like, my husband and I had been kind of talking about this. Like, it wasn't like super out of the blue, but it was pretty out of the blue.
It was just earlier.
It was
than
a lot earlier. And, you know, my thinking was like, okay, I'm going to leave. And, you know, I'd been making a decent salary. I can manage this for a few months. So I'll just see what happens. And I just quit. I just did it. And she asked me to stay for a month to help transition because remember, I managed 12 of their 14 clients.
Yeah.
And it was kind of dramatic. And so, yeah, then about a week after that, when she had like had many closed door meetings with him when he got back in town, she walked into my office and said, I've decided everyone wants your job, so you can leave tomorrow. I was like, great.
Cool.
So they paid me through the month and I was out of there. And I took two clients from them and it was, you know, it just was what it was. But
so how did you come to found this firm together then?
So the idea was always there and I knew I wanted to start an LLC because I had these clients, right? And so I had to figure something out. And it wasn't really a firm yet. It was just me being a freelancer, but I knew that it could be something else.
Right.
And I didn't want to call it like, you know, Corey LLC. And so Sarah and I had been talking about this and I know she knew I was doing this, but I was pretending to be sneaky and strategic
right. yeah, yeah.
to like,
well,
involve
I told Corey
her.
I needed a year because I thought at the time I needed to recover from my previous situation.
So this was October, right? So it's October. I have these clients. I set up an LLC by the end of October. And one night we were out to at a charity event for a nonprofit I'm involved with. And Joanne Davidson from the Denver Post was with us as just a guest. And Sarah and her husband were there. And we were drinking heavily. And we were like, what should we name this? You know, because I wanted, again, like I didn't want it to be my name so we could have something and I needed an LLC. And basically, I forget.
Corey was throwing out all these.
I was really thinking top level.
She was overthinking it a little
bit.
And
I was like, well, tell me, let's talk again about what the vision is. And the vision was to serve clients and figure out strategies for community relations and PR that showed them true to who they are. So like not dressing them up to be something else, yeah. which is what a lot of firms do.
Yep.
And, you know, it's like, let's highlight the best part of who you are,
like strip
not
you down,
give
you, know?
You something else. And so we were talking through it and I was like, well, isn't being barefoot most true to who you are?
Yeah. And I think Joanne was the one that kind of looked at us and was like, well, why don't you call it barefoot PR? And Sarah and I were like,
of course we should.
We should. And so we just did. Nice. And like, I think maybe like a week later, I registered the LLC and it was done. And so I kind of operated just by myself. And again, it was only like right. small projects here and there that friends were throwing my way. And I will say, and you know, John, I think you could speak to this too. It's like when you make a big leap like that, it's scary. It's nice to know you have a safety net of some folks that are already paying you in the mix.
Yeah.
But it was really the coolest thing about going off on our own was I think widespread support we received from the community, which I hoped for, but you never know if it's going to come. And like people were just throwing work our way and it were my way at the time. And it was like not necessarily things that I would do today,
right.
but like it was awesome, right? Like it made me feel good. It made me feel like I made the right choice. You know, financially it was working. It was good.
Nice.
Like, things worked out and it was kind of trucking along where I was just happy being a freelancer and kind of hanging on to that LLC that hung over my head. And
you were paying
good.
The mortgage and
yeah, things were fine. And then,
and periodically on Fridays,
oh,
which
right,
were my day off,
where she was going to do pottery.
No, painting.
Paint.
Whatever. I don't pot.
She's like, I'm in a
I
paint.
I don't pot.
And then I get this phone call. I'm like, hey, what are you doing? Can I come over and hang out?
This is a great story. So I used to paint when I was younger, mm-hmm. and then life happened. I did a lot of things when I was younger, and then paint,
She's
and
a
then that happened.
Flautist.
I was a flautist as well when I was younger.
I dated this girl once. Do you
was
remember?
She a flautist?
And this is not the. This
that doesn't mean making flautas like the food.
I'm very aware. Thank you, Corey.
Corey, do you know what this means?
I know what it means.
But this is not the story you think I'm going to tell.
Okay.
But I dated a girl in high school who she was a flautist. And I'm like, remember that scene in American Pie?
Yeah.
So
yes.
hold on.
Yes.
It's not that one.
No.
She goes, when I'm stressed, I just play some Bach on my flute. Remember that when she says that? And I said that to my girlfriend at the time. She goes, oh, that really does help. And I'm like, you're a fucking dork.
Like, you know what? Don't knock it till you try it.
Till I start playing Bach on the flute.
I know it's Sarah Diddler's
flute. It's going to be a while till I get to that. Like, if I pick up the flute now, get out of here.
John, there's always time to learn a new skill.
Yeah, okay.
Always time.
Sarah could teach you.
No, I'm not quite... I'm not quite in the form I used
And the
to
thing
be.
Is, I'm in no place to judge her, given some of my leisure pursuits. But the thing is, the fact that was like the dorky character... saying that, and then she so readily agreed with it. I go, that's too funny. So, Bach on the flute, soothing or no?
It is, actually.
What a fantastic
I think there's something about us.
It reminds me of, I'm dropping the movie references today for some reason, but in Inglourious Bastards, they realize that they're not actually German by the way he motions for three. Remember,
yes.
He goes like this?
Yeah.
And he goes, this is the German three.
Yeah.
And so we were in Germany. And my wife wanted two, two bus passes. So holds up two.
Mm-mm.
And the guy goes, three? And she's like, oh, no, two. And we go, oh, shit, that's real.
It's a thing.
And
it's
that's
real.
So anyway, Bach on the flute, real?
It is real.
The three thing from Inglourious Bastards, real.
I like that Bach on the flute is being compared to Inglourious Bastards.
Yeah. Yeah, probably the first time ever. That's what we do here. We
yeah.
we break, you
We're
know,
breaking down barriers.
It's kind of like an SAT question.
It's really a good yes. answer.
Bach yes. on the flute Wait, is two, this. Three what's in what's German.
It? Yes.
What's that? You call that? That's not a metaphor. What's it called?
An analogy?
Yes.
Yeah.
We're good. We're good with the words.
Don't you do PR for a living?
Yeah. You know.
It's where you compare two on a like thing.
I'll work on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
So, Sarah was trying to paint on Friday.
So, you guys are painting.
So, I
didn't work out.
This is the best part. I signed up to take a class, and then, like, 2 days before, they canceled the class due to low attendance.
Oh, gosh.
So, it just never worked out.
Never worked out. So, Sarah would come by a lot, and I had, like, some pretty cool projects I was working on, nothing crazy, but kind of, like,
I think at the end of the day, like, it was sort of a, either I'm going to just continue down this, like, trickle-in path, or I'm going to make it a company and really try and market it. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, like, one of my favorite things to do is business development. Like, I love going out. I mean, obviously, I signed Sarah. But, like, I like going out and figuring, you know, how what I'm trying to build can meet somebody else's needs. I mean, it's my favorite thing to do. And I was never allowed to do business development at my old job because... Right. And then something kind of landed in my lap, and it was a ginormous project that, to be quite honest, it was
up our alley.
Like, no, it was up our alley. I think it would have been a lot. I don't think we didn't have the resources to handle it, but it was a little out of the realm. But it was a really cool opportunity that had come my way. And I had talked to a couple other people because I knew I could never do it on my own.
Yeah, yeah.
And I talked to a couple other people. And thinking like, oh, could I partner with you? But I just never really felt like a click. And I always knew that it was Sarah that I wanted to work with.
And likewise, I mean, this was no like secret.
No, but I just knew she was in a different spot at the moment. So now remember, she was painting. She had asked me for a year. And at this point, so that was October. Mm-hmm. This was early February. So that's 4 months-ish.
Yeah.
Right. And so I called her up and I was like, hey, this thing came my way. I know you're working part time. How about we spend the weekend together working on a proposal? Super exciting. But like, it was something I was like, look, let's buy some beer. We'll sit in the office.
Remember,
like,
Bach on the flute is relaxing to me. Yeah, so I said, that sounds like a great way to spend the weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
It was February. It was cold. Yeah. So she came over and I'd rented some office space at the time. So we spent the weekend in the office because this proposal, it was no easy feat, right? Like, it was a big thing.
Like, how many pages?
Well, it wasn't so much pages. It was more just like thinking about
like
how you approach this.
Oh, okay. The
like the scope would have been complicated.
They didn't really know.
They didn't know what they had.
No. It was a big project. So we spent.
That's
this,
always
like,
hard. When the client like gives you like a piece of it and you go, okay, there's a lot more here than you think there is.
And about halfway through, I think both of us of working on this, realized like there's no way we want to do this, but we're having a really good time.
You have to finish what you start.
Yeah. So
damn it. Yes.
Sarah and I spent a Saturday literally just working on a proposal together. And it was just, we had a lot of fun, you know, like, I know that sounds weird, but we just really enjoyed the brainstorming part of it. And then like the getting distracted part and the stopping for beer and then going out for pizza. And like, we had a good time. And I think at the end of it, like, so we have this text message that we both like saved where we took a picture of it. And it's like, basically we were going back and forth for like a few texts of, that was really fun. Like, I think that we could do this together, just FYI. And like, you know, I'm trying to be all sneaky, like, didn't you have fun? So, and basically we had talked, we'd said, okay, if we get this project and we'll see how big it is, then Sarah will make a decision. So this proposal, the company was a huge company. They were like, hurry, 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 you know, get us that, it's that hurry, hurry up and wait kind of thing. So we sent the proposal in and they told us they'd get back to us in a week. Well, a week goes by, 2 weeks goes by. We're now past a month and we haven't heard anything. Yeah. And obviously, like, we didn't really want the work. And so we weren't pushing for it.
Sure.
But in the meantime, like, we had continued to talk and Sarah had continued to come hang out with me on Fridays when she wasn't at her other job. And she would like help me with other projects I was working on. And then about a month goes by. So we're now about 5 months past when Sarah and I quit our previous jobs and we went out to coffee and I was like so nervous because I like was gonna make like an offer.
It felt a little like an indecent proposal.
It did.
Right.
I even remember we went to this coffee shop and I remember all of it. I was nervous.
It's funny because so many of the muscles are the same as they are in dating, as they are in business.
Exactly. Like, I was like making a proposal to her.
Yeah.
And, you know, it wasn't like I could make her a job offer because I hadn't been really paying myself.
Right, right.
But, you know, the good thing is, like, for 6 months of our company, and you know, I've shared with you before, like, you have to put time in before you can start paying yourself out, and it had been a few months. But I knew that in the next, like, month or so, based on what had been coming in, there could be, like, some sort of payment, something.
Yeah. Right?
We could make it worthwhile. So I basically took her to coffee, and I was like, so, want to shit or get off the pot?
And, like, and I chose to shit.
Yeah, and so she shit all over, and it was great. And
you guys know the charming stories.
But it was kind of funny because we made this decision at a coffee, and that night we like had to take our significant others out to dinner.
So part of the deal is when you're jumping ship and you're married, it also affects your partner.
Very much so.
And it is really helpful to have their support. So the idea was to bring the husbands together and like talk
about
the details
it
and be really transparent because, you know, you lean on them for
a while. Absolutely. So we went out for pizza that night and stated our case and just it happened. And so about it was like almost a month later.
It was, yeah. So I gave the job I was at a month to be kind. And was nice is they actually ended up coming on as a client because they didn't know how to rehire yet. Not that I was that great, but they just were ready to do it.
Well, and it was a good fit for us because Sarah could take on the piece of the work that she enjoyed doing that really consultants can do and not do the things that the internal person would do. So it kind of worked out.
Right.
And they were a client for a year and it was fantastic. And that took, you know, it took Sarah a little while to kind of adjust because she's never been on the consulting side before.
That is a huge adjustment. I mean, it worked out well, but I think it took a solid year to really figure out how to be a consultant versus being an in-house person.
Yeah, the weird thing is I went from being a consultant to in-house. And I remember when I was on the consultant side to start, because wherever you start, that's what you think is normal, right?
Yes.
That's like sort of what informs your viewpoint of the world. And I always thought, I'm like, man, I can't wait till I'm on the in-house side and I can work with consultants. It's going to be so much easier. I would always sit on the consultant side and be like, what is taking them so long? Like, what are they doing in there? Like, isn't this their project? And once I got on the in-house side, I go, oh, this is why all my clients were frustrating. Yeah. And now I'm frustrating all my consultants.
Absolutely.
And so now I'm back on the consulting side. So I see it again from the other side,
totally.
Which anytime you can do both helpful.
And that honestly is one of the biggest selling points, like other than just our experience and kind of like what we focus on. It's one of our biggest selling points to clients is that we do have two different perspectives that we bring to the table. You know, Sarah obviously has worked in-house on the corporate side for most of her career. And I've always been on the outside, but I've also worked a lot with nonprofits. So we have like, it makes sense why we do what we do and we have different perspectives.
I mean, great example. We'll have a client who is taking a while to get back on something. And I think the consultant's point of view is manage this to completion, right? Like I want to move this project forward and you don't always understand the pinch point that's happening inside. So Corey and I will have a dialogue where it'll be like, why can't we get this approved?
Yeah.
And my perspective is always, well, that person is probably routing it through six other people.
Or they're an idiot.
Or,
that's more rare than you think
that
it would be.
More rare.
Especially for the point people. Like the point people who are working with the consultants.
Most of them are great and they're really smart and they want to get it done just as bad as you do. But they have to route it through, you know, six
people. A billion people.
And then at some point, somebody says, what about this? So then they have to go on a tangent to explore why that might not be a good idea, but they still have to explore it. Or something else happens where it's like they're going down this path and then someone's like, oh, by the way, this is your new priority.
Yeah.
So you can't.
Right. No. And it is good. I mean, like Sarah, it's a different perspective. And, you know, I think over the years, like I've kind of gotten a better sense of how that functions on that side. But, you know, it's also like going from in-house to a consultant, you have to remember what your consultant hat is too.
Absolutely.
And like you don't have to do all those little tasks. And that's something that I've always known.
Yeah, that's a difference is sometimes, at least in my transition, I got too far into the weeds. You suck in, and when you're in-house, you're kind of like, I'm touching everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you're a consultant, you just have to kind of pull back. You're paid to be a little bit higher level or to work on this task.
So, or frequently you have to generate the raw material.
Right, yes.
Because that's what I always leaned on consultants for. I go, okay, here's the idea. Here's the project.
Yes.
I need you guys to create it.
Which makes
just make it.
In-house manager. Like someone who
can trust the people they're hiring too is a big deal.
Yeah. Someone who can say, here's my vision. Here's kind of a few things.
Right.
Go. That's a dream for us.
The way I used to run things. Right. that's a good one. The way I used to manage my consultants, I had this philosophy and it was, you can tell someone what to do or how to do it, but not both. Never both. And that was a vision not shared by people above me.
Yeah.
So they used to think I wasn't like owning the consultant relationships properly. And I said, no, they understand the budget, the timeline and the deliverables. Everything else is up to them. Like as long as they meet that, who cares how they're doing it? That again, that was not a vision shared. But it's funny. I just have to share this too. It's so weird being back on the consultant side, not working for one client anymore.
Yeah.
Because I have a different client now and I'm writing a bunch of content for them. And one of the things they told me, they said, this writing is too corporate. And I actually said to them, or, you know, too uptight. Like if we were this company, if we were more buttoned up, this would be perfect. But it's not our style.
Mm-hmm.
And getting that piece of feedback, I said, I recognize all the words that you're using, but I have not heard them in this order ever. You know what I mean?
I get
like,
that.
Did you get totally. That? Like, I did that totally happen to that. You? Because you yeah. had like the one style of client. Now I'm sure you work in all different yeah. industries, right?
I think, you know, the hardest part for me. So while I had worked with a lot of nonprofits before, I always worked as like, I am the money giver.
Yeah.
I am the, right. you know, like I'm providing this resource, you know, coming from that side. And when your client is the nonprofit, it's a little softer. So like yeah. understanding the way they run themselves yeah. or even the language for sure is different.
It's different.
So,
yeah. And having a different like sensitivity with nonprofits too. It's, I don't know. There's just a different way of working with them.
Absolutely. That was probably the hard, you know, the corporate clients we have were easier for me to transition.
Yeah.
The nonprofits were like, okay, this is different.
It was like trying to brush your teeth with your offhand, right?
Yes.
Well, and I will say,
like you can do it, but you're like,
yeah, it's awkward. Yeah.
Well, and I think like we faced, you know, some interesting challenges from the get-go for a number of different reasons. Like, you know, just starting a company, being younger, being women. I mean, like there were a lot of interesting challenges and fortunately we don't get that same pushback anymore because we've worked hard to build a reputation.
But, yeah, you're more established.
Yeah, but like just where I think Sarah and I had the hardest time was constantly feeling like we would get the work, but yet we would take like 6 months before they like really trusted us. And yeah. that would drive me nuts because Sequoia hired me.
Like, you thought I was good enough to do this.
But like constantly trying to right. prove ourselves is a tough thing. And it was a little easier to do that with the nonprofit world because you know, you're selling yourselves and these nonprofits are investing in you. And it's just a little different of a relationship
totally.
There. But yeah.
Yeah.
So here we are.
Right.
So Barefoot is almost five.
It is. Yeah.
And almost five.
Almost five. And one of my favorite things, like, so when we first launched, met with like a ton of people, like networking, we were out in the community all the time and talking about what we were and what our niche was and what we wanted to focus on, and always said that we are a PR firm with a community bent. Like that was our thing. Right. And we met with a lot of people that were kind of players in the field. And this one man, and I will always remember this. Like I met with him right away. And he's been in marketing for a long time. And he was super supportive. He sent a couple small clients our way. And about a year after, we met again. And he was like, you know, one of my favorite things about you guys is that you were still doing exactly what you told me you were going to do when you launched. And I really think that that's the case even today. Like, we get together once a year and sit down and say, are we still doing what we said we were going to do? And I think that's one of the, you know, I'm not going to say that we're like over the top successful, but like we're doing well, we're yeah. solid, we're growing. And I think that's one of the reasons why.
I think in an industry that has a tendency to want to creep outside its boundaries, it's important to just identify what you're good at
yeah.
and be okay with saying no. And it's also the benefit of being a small shop. You know, we don't have as many mouths to feed
yeah.
as some of the bigger agencies. So
right.
More than when we started.
Yeah,
I know.
How many employees do you have now?
So two employees plus us, and then we have a fabulous intern right now.
Fantastic.
So we have a little family of five, and we're small and mighty, and it's fun. I mean, I think Sarah and I didn't have some grandiose marketing plan or business plan before
right.
we launched. It was four bullet points that we followed, and each year
we had a lot of values. And we had a very well-defined idea of what we wanted to do,
right.
but our business plan was four bullet points.
You know, it's funny you say that, and not being afraid to say no, because I have...
Well, I forgot to mention that initial client that brought us together about 2 months. No.
Oh, no.
The one that made us, we did the proposal
oh, yes.
together. So we made this decision. Sarah quit her job. She came back to me. So now this is a good like 3 months after we submitted the proposal mm-hmm. and we had written them off. They came back and offered the work to us.
Oh, geez.
And it was a massive project. And we talked about it and we said no.
Because
we didn't really want to do it.
It had some like new factors.
Yeah. And like, I think we just knew it was not a fit. And we used them just to bring us together.
Sure.
So,
well, and just as sort of a test case. Well, it was funny. I have this potential client. It's like this DC think tank. And just people I've worked with like in my previous life a lot. And they were coming back into town and they said, let's meet, you know, we'd love to hear some ideas. How can we work together? I couldn't come up with anything. Like I didn't.
That is not a good sign.
I could not find a good fit. Like
not,
at least on a project wise, like I was kind of shooting in the dark a little.
It.
No, it's not that I wasn't excited. It's just, I couldn't figure out the ideal way to slot in.
Yeah.
And so I go, I have some things. They're all kind of half cooked. So I just went to them. I had this meeting and I said, look, I have some things that we could try and shoehorn in here,
mm-hmm.
but I'd rather find the right project and work with you guys and make it a home run for both of us. and not try to force anything because it's, I like you too much.
Yeah,
it's so true.
It's important.
And I think, you know, and,
but here's, it does. Here, it and here's the back. Thing. They're from DC, so they go, we're used to dealing with lobbying firms who will sell their soul for the next client.
Yeah.
And I go, what do I have? Like, I don't own anything, right? I mean, all I have is me and my reputation.
Yeah.
So as long as I'm doing right by you and we're like on good terms and I want us to be optimal as much as we can, then you know what? I'm not going to step over a dollar to pick up a dime here.
No,
absolutely. So, I mean, I don't need to force the issue. And it, you guys sound like you're describing the same thing.
It will always come back. Like, we have said no to things. We've had people that have said, oh, I just really want to find a way to work together. But,
like, we will.
You don't want to, like, exactly. Yeah. You don't want to fit a square peg into a round hole. You know, like, you
exactly.
Just, if it doesn't fit, it doesn't fit.
And I don't ever want to be a firm that forgets that its reputation is its most important thing, right?
It takes forever to build and a second to destroy.
Totally. You know, and I think Sarah and I were very sensitive. Like, we've met. We're sensitive about like the way we have the business structured and the way that we grow and the way we treat our employees. Mm. And hopefully they love working here, you know, and it's just you learn a lot as you go along in life. And we're trying to create an experience that not only do we want to come to every day, but the people we hire want to come to every day.
And our clients. And our clients want to work with us.
Yeah, I mean, people are seeking us. You know?
You've had this experience where you get stuck with a consultant that you really don't want to talk to.
Yeah.
And I never want to be that. Like, if it's not working, we always tell our clients that if it's not working, tell us and we can try to fix it. But I don't want to make you miserable. So we're happy to sort of back away.
And we've come in on multiple occasions after a client has worked with a different PR firm. And unfortunately, there's a couple bad apples out there in the trade.
Not a lot, but there are,
some. And, you know, they're always their biggest concern is always like, yeah, I'm really excited. I want to work. I think you have a good thinking around it. But if it doesn't work out, are you going to make me like pay you, you know, six months worth? And I'm like, why would I do that? It just sounds terrible. Like, it's just stupid. It's not worth it. I don't feel good about it.
My reputation is not
it's not. No, I mean, our contracts, they are what they are. We have them because we feel like we have to, but our contracts aren't what drive our work. It's the passion to continue doing what we want to do.
That seems like the right way to do it. And it's funny because I remember we met through this networking group that we were both a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got together and you were among the chorus of voices just telling me like,
you gotta
get out on your own. And it's amazing. I mean, it's been 2 months now, just over 2 months. And I don't think I've ever had this much creative energy ever.
It is incredible. So, and I also think, you know, the challenge moving forward now that I feel like I can offer advice now that we're almost 5 years
into it.
We're
so seasoned.
Very seasoned. No, but it is important to kind of take a minute and revive that periodically, because I think while it's ours and we run it and it's better than any other job I've ever had, it's still a grind.
It can be, sure.
There are still things. It's still work, and you still have days that are hard, but you have to find those moments where you find the thing that reinvigorates your passion for what you do. Like, one of my favorite thing about having interns, so when we have a good intern and you watch them do something for the first time, it reminds me of why I'm excited, you know, why I liked this in the beginning.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's funny you were describing that 4-day-a-week job, and, you know, you're having trouble filling the time. Eventually, in the corporate structure, I had a lot of my stuff erode away from me, whereas before I had my hair on fire just constantly. And then I remember sitting there, I'm like, what am I supposed to do with my day? Like, between these meetings that I
don't even know why I'm going to them.
My attendance is of questionable value at them. And so you're right. And I suppose that can be true of anything. There's just the creep, the sort of ennui that sort of sets in.
I definitely had a cycle where it was every job I had before this, I was there for 3 years. Because the first year was figuring out what was going on. The second year was fixing it. And the third year was watching it run smoothly.
Mm.
And then what do you do after the third year? Because normally the company wasn't ready to do a new thing again.
Right.
So,
and that's like the beauty of being a consultant. When that point hits, if they're not ready to move on, you either go away or you shift what your focus is.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's kind of like, it's not like you're within a job description, you know, like you can recreate the scope of work depending on what their need is. And I think that's like the biggest flexibility is just like really key in this world.
Absolutely.
I had someone tell me once that when you go out on your own and you're bold like that, that's a tough thing to do. I mean, it took me forever to finally make the leap. And, you know, you kept pushing it out and pushing it out and pushing it out. And then, you know, you had this halftime client and you sort of creep towards it and then you go off the cliff.
Yeah.
Right.
But
a lot of people never jump off the cliff.
I just dive and hope there's water at the bottom.
So I had someone tell me that they said people will always try and like pull you back. into that world.
Yeah, and because they want you to be in their safe space too.
Exactly.
It's so true.
Has that happened to you all where it's like, yeah, we're at this in-house thing that maybe you should think about that?
I think
like pulling us away from this?
Yeah. Where like
I think it's been a little harder because we own the company together. So right. Barefoot has always seemed a little more like a presence. I do think there are a lot of people who say, like, the response is, that's so great, but I could never do that because right. it must be so hard.
Honestly,
and how do you know where your next, paycheck is coming?
Well, and honestly, I think people for a long time were always questioning, like, Sarah and I's relationship. They thought it wasn't real that we could be this close. I mean, like, no joke, like, we're real close. Like, it hasn't changed. Like, it just.
But close with intention.
Yeah.
So the difference, I think, between Corey and I and best friends who start a company is that we worked together first.
Yeah.
And we've been able to maintain that friendship, which and is what I mean. Like, we're close friends.
We set out some, like, very clear boundaries in the beginning to say, like, this is it. All my cards are on the table.
Yeah, good.
Which I think helped. But you're right. I mean, people want to pull you back and...
I don't know. I guess I've always been a pusher, and so I push other people. I know that, but
she's like Tina Fey in Mean Girls.
I know, I'm a drug pusher.
You're a pusher.
Just kidding. I don't know. Like, I've never felt that because I'm always going to push back and be like, well, why? Why wouldn't I do this?
Right.
I don't know. It's probably why my old boss hated me.
So the best thing about me is, like, I'm a planner by heart, but I'm a planner until all of a sudden you're like, fuck it. Like, plan, jump.
And
like,
I don't know how to plan.
No.
So it's a definitely, I mean, like, that's the other thing too, is like,
Corey jumps and then checks for the parachute on the way down, which actually is a good combination.
It is. And that's what I was just going to say. Like, we've been asked a number of times about partnerships and we've known other partnerships that haven't worked out. And people ask, like, kind of what makes it work for us. And I think you have to find that person that's your true complement, your true, your yin to your yang. You know, like, you really need to find
your
that.
Reese's peanut butter to your chocolate.
Yeah, yes.
Probably the peanut butter because I'm a little more internal.
Yeah. I like chocolate.
I just like peanut butter more. Yeah.
Can we be dark? Can we be like the dark chocolate?
Absolutely.
Well, sure, why not?
Can I be natural peanut butter? Less sugar?
Maybe like not shave your armpits also?
You don't know what I do on my
Ew!
So dark chocolate, natural peanut butter. Yeah, you guys are Barefoot PR. For sure.
Yes. But anyways, I mean, I think you have to find that person that complements your approach and challenges you just as much compliments you.
I think a lot of friends who start companies are afraid to say, I don't agree.
Yeah.
And you can't, like, the minute you stop doing that, it's going to fall apart.
You know,
you'll get resentful and you got to be able to, like, hash it out.
Yeah. So when I left my old job, when I gave my notice, I took my boss out for a glass of wine in a safe public space. And, I told her that I was leaving and her response to me was, well, you've never been a team player, right? Okay. And that, like, honestly really, really hurt my feelings. She can't, like, I'm not a very sensitive person.
Mm-hmm.
And that one really got to me because she's wrong. Like, I believe that I'm a team player, but I got to be on a team of qualified, competent people. And I had never in that job prior, I've worked with super competent people, but in that job never felt like I was working amongst people that really knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
And when Sarah and I found each other and working together, like, for the first time in a really long time, I felt like if I went away, Sarah would do it the same, if not better, than I would.
Hmm.
And that trust is, like, it is so hard to find.
It's massive.
And, it's just that, I don't know, I think that's what makes this work, is that Sarah and I find people, like, our employees, we trust 110%. Like, I believe that they'll do the best job that they can, and everybody messes up. And if people mess up, we just fix it. Like, it's not the end of the world.
Well, I mean... That's why you hired them, presumably.
Right? Nobody's perfect, but, like, I think it's all about building a qualified team.
We are
are we at our limit? Do you want us to keep talking? Because we can.
Because we can.
We're at the point of the show where you guys should plug whatever you want to plug. So how can people find you? Where can they learn more about Barefoot PR?
Well,
where can they get in contact with you?
We have a website, although it is going to be updated soon, so stay tuned. So just barefootpublicrelations.com. Don't go to barefootpr.com because unfortunately it directs you to this
porn?
Travel website in Puerto Rico.
Wouldn't it be funny if it was porn?
Well, it's whitehouse.com.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that one's boring.
That's pretty funny. So barefootpublicrelations.com, or if you just Google Barefoot PR, you'll find us.
And, okay.
We have our team that has a pretty good social media presence too, right?
We do. Yeah, absolutely.
Good.
And we are also out and about a lot.
Okay.
Slightly less than we used to be because of the small little nuggets at home. But we're out a lot. So we always like meeting new people.
Cool.
And if you're listening and you see us, you should say hello.
Because we like to talk.
Surprise!
Get out of here. All right. Yeah. Well, thanks for being on the show. I know you guys got a ton of clients, and it was a pleasure having you. Thank you, Corey. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, John.
And that wraps up episode 63 of the John of All Trades podcast. Corey Streetman, Sarah Hogan, Barefoot PR, thank you for being on the show and sharing your origin story with us. Loved it, loved it, loved it. You guys are doing great work. Keep it up. I'm going to plug another entrepreneur, the sponsor of the John of All Trades podcast, 4Degrees. The number 4DEGRE.ES. It is your one-stop shop for all your web needs. Whether you're doing online marketing, social media advertising, anything that you need to do where you are trying to target someone and get your message or your product in front of them, 4Degrees can do it, and they can do it at a cost cheaper than you've probably been doing it before. So give them a call. Shoot them an email. Visit them on the web. The website is 4Degrees, the number 4DEGRE.ES. We are done with episode 63. That one is in the books. We're always looking forward. Episode 64 comes at you next week. We announce new episodes on Mondays on social media, Facebook and Twitter. Find us, like us, follow us, JOAT Pod for both those places. And hey, leave me some feedback. What kind of shows do you want to hear? I'm happy to reach out to them. Or, hey, do you have an interesting job? Do you have a cool career? Do you have something unusual that you want to talk about, and a long-form interview is the way to accomplish it? Hit me up, jonofalltrades.us, JOAT Pod for social media. So, we will see you Monday. We'll announce next week's episode, and it'll drop on Wednesday. So, until then, say goodnight, Gracie.